Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Actually, that's me.
Nice. So we're starting this podcast. We have the great Grant Neal on the podcast. I just messed up. I didn't record it. So the guy that came on 2 seconds ago, we have to bring him back on. We have a local celebrity on the podcast.
Bruno.
Yes, Bruno. We have our Bruno in Colorado. We have our first gay porn star on the podcast. Bruno.
Don't spread that, bro. Don't spread that.
Look him up. See, he's all about spreading it. Like, just like he said, he's all about spreading. We also have Grant Neal, who's a 6-1 fighter for Bellator. Guy's a monster. You can do everything, man. He was a 2-time state champion from Colorado. You were wrestling in college too?
I wrestled for a little bit in college, but I played college football. That was my main sport. Wow. So I was a freshman All-American and a national champion in college
freshman
football.
Freshman All-American in football?
Yeah.
Good wow. Lord. What college?
CSU Pueblo.
CSU Pueblo. And that's in Colorado also?
Yep, Colorado.
And how
I mean, in fairness, he's the only black guy in Colorado. So, like, how fair is that?
Hey, there's a lot of us, but you just got to go to the right places.
Yeah, you got to go to the right places. Come on, Bill. What's going on with you? How close were you to make it to the pros in football?
I was well on my way. I was on track, and I actually had an opportunity through Coach Landau and Nate Marcourt and a couple other guys who were just like, Grant, like, you're a really good wrestler. And they would always tell me, one day you're going to be a fighter. And, you know, they kind of convinced me. I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm a football player. But it had it that it was in my plans to become a fighter. So
yeah, well, I mean, your first couple fights were just over so quick. Because I watched him on YouTube. I mean, Bill, it was like 11 minutes of watching him walk into the ring, this and that. And now it's the other guy. These fights were over 15 seconds, 20 seconds.
What, I mean, yeah.
He would just knock these guys the fuck out. I mean, quick. Did you fall in love with your hands after that?
I think everybody falls in love with their hands for sure. But, man, I fell in love with the sport in general. Like I really enjoyed everything about the sport, and man, just being a huge fan, watching it, and like just growing up, I was like, man, I love this so much that I gotta embrace everything. And so like sometimes like fights start on the feed and don't end there, and sometimes they end there. And I just was like, shit, if I could get a knockout, get a paycheck, let's go.
I mean, you also beat what's his name? Fortune? Who they were like? They were hyping this guy up. The Fortune brothers were like, I think two to both of them are all American, heavily wrestlers.
Yeah,
and, you beat him pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. it was a fun fight. I mean, I love taking the air out of people's sails for sure. That's always a good feeling.
Now you're one loss, right? So you're 7-1. Now, how did that humble you? Did you come in unprepared? What went on there?
So that was a split decision loss. I probably pissed off the judges or something. Didn't wear my mask in COVID, and they got mad at me. So yeah. you have those ones. But honestly, Adam, like to come out of a fight uninjured, to get that fire of like getting this taste out of your mouth, I actually think it really progressed my game to the point to where now I'm fighting one of the best strikers. My next fight was one of the best strikers in all of mixed martial arts, and Christian Edwards, John Jones's protege. And it was a clinic, you know, but I had that motivation from getting that taste out of my mouth and training to not just to win, because sometimes when you're only thinking about the win, you kind of get lost, but it was training to improve and to dominate and dictate the fight. And so when I trained for Polizzi, this dude, he was saying he was a good wrestler. And I was like, I'm going to out wrestle this guy. And like, he's an all American, all that. And I was like, I'm going to fuck this guy up in wrestling. I did, but I ended up losing a split decision. And so that was like that ego. And so that ego like shot really helped me to get to the next level and like eliminate that. And you're like, I had to go back into my wheelhouse, say like, what do I want to do here? And I want to be the best. And I'm like, that ego will stop you from being the best.
Yeah, that's so well said. Bill, there was one part in the fight, his last fight. He had the guy, he had basically like, almost like it was like a Turk in wrestling, or like where you had his leg trapped and then you're just punching him in the face. I think it was the end of the second round. You must have landed, what, 30 punches in a row?
Wait, so you were on top, a half guard type of thing?
Yeah, I was on top half guard, top side half with like kind of like a Turk, and his body. He could. Our biggest thing is we want to control the bottom leg, because the only way, as you know, in wrestling, the only way to stand up is to pull that bottom leg out. And so we're like hybriding wrestling with grappling. My coach is an evil genius.
So yeah, and he hit him. I mean, were you surprised that he didn't that they didn't call it though? Because they could probably a lot of refs would have called it probably.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, and I mean, I was surprised, but I also was in Hawaii, and I come from Colorado, and so it was the second round, and I'm like, man, I'm not even sweating yet, like I'm ready to go another round. So I was excited to get some more action.
So what camp are you at now in Colorado?
So I'm with Genesis Training Academy and also Easton's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Coach Jacob Ramos and Peter Strobe.
Now, what's your belt?
Oh, I'm a 4-stripe white belt.
Oh, that's amazing. Isn't that amazing that you can be like a 4-stripe white belt and win in MMA? Because MMA really, UFC started as a like testament to the power of Jiu-Jitsu, really. That's how it began. Oh, yeah. And now it's like, well, you need it a little bit.
Well, first of all,
I compete in jiu-jitsu as well.
Oh, really?
So I actually competed in two fight to win tournaments this year so far in the advanced.
You must black have destroyed belt. As a white belt. Jesus.
Well, I compete in the black belt division. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I won both the tournaments.
You were a white belt and you beat all the black belts?
Yeah.
Were they like, this is not fair? Or is this, what are you?
I mean, jiu-jitsu community is really awesome, actually. So, like, the actual fighters were, like, super, like, oh, man, this is awesome. Because, my biggest thing is, like, I'm not going to sandbag. Like, I respect the martial art. And, like, if you're in the gi and whatever, I respect the ranking system. But I'm not going to compete in a white belt division. And so I'm like, okay, well, you can call me a white belt, whatever you want, but I'm going to compete in the advanced division. So I did do that. And I won both of those tournaments, and I gained my 4th stripe as a white belt.
Well, first of all, if you're a wrestler and you're a heavyweight, you have such an advantage because so many wrestlers, they just have big hands. I mean, so many heavyweights, big hands, but if you could actually, you look at like the top guy, like Stipe was like a solid wrestler. Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar. I mean, these guys are just so Daniel Cormier. So he's got such an advantage as a heavyweight who knows how to move. So I just think that the sky's the limit for you. Has Bellator given you another fight or no?
So we had some really interesting matchups, as you know, in the light heavyweight division. It is like stacked through and through from the all in the top 10. So I mean, right now the champion's Nemkov, behind is Corey Anderson. We got Anthony Johnson, who just fought Melvin Manoff, and Yoel Romero just fought. And so I mean, I'm super excited because, man, these are all like guys I grew up watching, and most of the guys took their first fight the year I was born. So I'm excited to
How old are
I'm
you?
Excited to go. I'm 26.
And how much weight are you cutting to get 205?
So I'm a firm believer in fighting close to your walk around weight. So I cut about 20 pounds. So I walk around 225 to 230. And then I like do this whole complex nutrition thing and just make sure that I'm fueled and ready to go to the best of my ability on fight night.
What's this complex nutrition thing?
So I have a nutritionist, and she breaks down everything from a caloric standpoint and also like just macros as well. Her name is Laylee Landerman, and she does Fuel Your Fight Camp. And so she's the one who makes sure that Drew Dober is on weight. She makes sure like to help with, she did a lot of work with Corey Sanhagen, and she does a lot of work with me. And then she does some local fighters too. But man, it's every meal is like made specifically for you. So it's not like you go to the store and get like just like these pre-made packaged meals. It's like, no, like this meal is for you. And so a lot of it consists for me is like elk and bison. And yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. Now, is there a rivalry with the big camp over in Colorado and then your camp? Are you like the average Joes in like dodgeball? who is it?
No. So like it's funny too, because so like our camp is pretty cool because we have like a ton of like really good fighters. So like Muhammad Usman, who just won the Tough Championship, is part of our team. And like Chris Camozzi, all those guys, Brandon Gertz. So like we have those guys, but our coach is like really sought after, Coach Jacob Ramos. And so, but he keeps his team real, like you gotta be on your shit to be a part of like the team.
Yeah.
And we cross train a lot. Okay. So like on Tuesdays, we'll cross train with like Elevation Fight Team. So a lot of those guys will come out and train here. And then on Fridays, we'll go down there to Elevation Fight Team and train with them. So it's actually like a really awesome fight community. Like the only gym that's kind of annexed off of that is Factory X. But I mean, I love all, like we, fighter, you know the fight community, Adam. Like we're all pretty close. So
but there's always, though, I mean, in Arizona, there's like Fight Ready, and then there's the Crouch, because a lot of the coaches went to there. And then even in like Jackson's gym, it was Jackson and whatever. In Miami, it's ATT, and it's well, it was the Black Zillions, now it's Sanford. Does Colorado have that at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different gyms, but like I think the only like gym that's a little bit like secluded is Factory X. But like Elevation Fight Team, what is it? Top Notch, and a couple like other gyms, like even some of the boxing gyms, we all like cross train, because our thing in at least in Colorado, like our thing is like, man, we're to the level where there's a high concentration of UFC and Bellator and pro boxers. And so we're like, why not make Colorado the best place to be? And if you're someone that gives you a really good look for some Brazilian halfway across the world, and you have this person 5 minutes down the street, why aren't you training with them?
Well, so, do you feel that the elevation gives you an advantage over most people when you're fighting?
Oh no,
you train in Elevation.
No, Elevation gives you zero advantage. No one think about moving here. It's terrible for you. It's really hard to breathe. The winters are horrid. If anything, it's probably just better to stay close to sea level.
Yeah,
it gives you no advantage.
Right. Remember the UFC a couple weeks ago? Like every single fighter was completely gassing out. Every fighter was like completely gassing. By the way, we have Tall Steve is here. Who's in blackface? But some bullshit that we have a fighter here.
No, we're rocking the blue face.
What happened to you, Steve?
I took one of those hard left hooks with a little glove on. It was just popped me right on the spot.
Oh my God.
It's so much worse now than it was whenever I first looked at it too.
Oh my! By the way, do you know Grant Neal from Bellator 6-1?
I do know Grant Neal. Yeah.
Steve is also undefeated fighter from Bellator. Who popped? Was it Luke Rockhold?
No, it was a guy you probably haven't heard of. His name's Katuma Malumba. He's like newer. He's just getting started as a pro.
Now, is that normal?
That sounds like the type of guy that'll give you a black eye.
Yeah.
Is that normal to take a punch like that?
No, it was I don't know what it, I don't know if he was excited or emotional. I don't know what the deal was, but it was like the round had just started and whoa, man, with those little gloves on, no matter what you do, it's bam, you know.
So what did you do back?
Oh, you know, we figured it out.
Wow. Grant, do you ever have guys like that in sparring who just, it's their first day or whatever, they get excited and try to knock you out?
Yeah, I tend to try to stay away from those guys unless I really like them. And if I like them, then it's like green light. So like I always give guys the warning. I'm like, hey, I'm only going to hit you as hard as you hit me, but I'm probably a lot more skilled at hitting you in the places that are really going to damage you. So I recommend not hitting me hard because I'm going to hit you really hard and you're not going to get up from it.
Yeah.
has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like for me, I don't hit people in the face hard, but like I love dropping new guys with body shots because like a lot of times like they don't really know how bad it sucks. But then like after like 5-10 minutes, you get back up from it and you're all right and you can go and kiss your wife and she still thinks you look the same. So, but you know deep down inside that I just took your soul with a body shot.
Wow.
Now with your body shots, you know, because I remember Boss Rutten used to do those quote unquote liver shots. Is that kind of like a myth? Because he would just do like one liver shot, a guy would drop.
No,
like,
it's not a myth.
So is that better than the solar plexus or where would you go for?
Liver shot for me, I think is what when I'm going to the body, that's what I'm aiming for. It like paralyzes you, man.
And you know exactly where it is. You're good at pinpointing it.
Oh yeah, it's pretty easy to pinpoint. It's right on your right side, and so like right under the guard usually on most people, and you just got to get close to it, right? And it doesn't even have to be hard. Like that's what they say all the time in commentary: touch the liver, touch the liver. You hear that a lot. It's not kill the liver as hard as you can. It's just all you got to do is touch it, and you're gonna feel it. And then if they put their guard up and you hit their guard, it's going to like get through no matter what. And everything just hurts from there on. Your liver is already inflamed and it'll drop the toughest guys. I mean, I've gone with some really, really tough guys and doesn't matter how tough you are. You take a liver shot. It's no fun.
So, all right. Speaking of something that's not non-related. So Chris Carmozzi came to my show with his girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
This girl, it might be aside from my wife, the hottest chick in the fucking like tits like out to here, like 12 pack ass. How did that happen, Grant?
Chris isn't a bad looking guy.
No, not a bad looking guy, but I mean, how did he get her? I guess you
miss every shot you don't shoot, right? So.
Yes. Okay. All right. Now, do you have a girlfriend or a wife or?
I have a fiance. She's very pretty too. You would probably say the same thing. She might be a little out of my league.
All right. She got big.
That's why feminism is dead, because at the end of the day, women want men who can fight and protect them. They don't want equality. They want a beast.
Yeah. And where did you meet your wife, Grant?
She actually slid into my DMs.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, we joke around. It was 5 years ago. She knew what she wanted.
So she sent you that like emoji. What is it?
It was a little more subtle than that. It was back when I was an amateur fighter, you have to like peddle your own tickets, you know, and to make any kind of money. And so I'm like promoting my tickets on social media and she goes, hey, like, can I get tickets to your fight here in Colorado? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Send her the link. And she goes, I'm not good with technology. Do you think you can like bring me a set of tickets? Oh, and wow. I was just like, you reached out to me on Instagram and dumb me. I'm like, not thinking nothing. I was like, yeah, I got to get these tickets. I go and she to give her the tickets and she's like done up to the nines. Wow. And I'm just like the cartoons, your jaw just drops to the ground. Wow. That was me. And I'm like, goodness. And
like a porno or something. Did you seal the deal that day?
I took her to a Nuggets game, and the rest was history.
Wow, good for you. Well, listen, yeah. Grant Neal, where can people follow you?
So you can follow me at Grant Neal 34 on Instagram, just Grant Neal on Twitter. Those are the main two socials that you can follow me at, and I really appreciate it. And then if you want to buy some Grant Neal merch, just go to millions.com. Yeah, millions.com. We got a like a Scarface inspired shirt for this next fight, and so go ahead and buy it while it's hot and ready.
I'm gonna buy one today. I swear to God, I'm buying one today. So
if I don't see a picture at least on your story with that shirt on,
millions.com.
I would say to everybody that Adam is a liar. Mm-hmm. He kills people's dreams, yeah. And then you're, right. It's going to be very hard for you to run your kids' wrestling club.
Yeah. I love it.
And then you're going to touch the liver. You're going to touch his liver.
Then touch the liver.
All right. So it's called millions.com.
Millions.co.
Millions.co. All right. Well, thank you, Grant, and have a good rest of the day.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. What a nice guy, man. Right? You would like never know that guy's a straight killer. Steve, I am so proud of you, man. Daddy duty. This brings back memories of last year.
Oh yeah.
Oh my yeah. God.
Just woke up from a nap. Grouchy as hell.
By the way, that girl is 2 days old. That's how tall.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how tall is your baby? Is she like 99 percentile?
She's about 36 hours old right here. 102nd percentile. She's the for a 2 year old. She's like the 80 something percentile, and she's 15 months.
Well, your wife is like normal. She's average.
She's like normal, right? It's all Stevie Bear.
I mean, super hot. I'm just saying, like normal size. She's not like a
normal size woman.
So, by the way, so tall Steve, I went and watched your fight again from last time. It obviously, if you guys didn't watch it, Steve had a fight. It was they put you in like the big dogs. You were fighting what's the guy's name again?
Valentin Moldovsky.
Moldovsky, who's a monster, a straight up monster, a legend of the sport. You were an underdog. I don't know if you were underdog or not, but they put you in the big waters. Fight starts. He lands I don't know if he landed a punch or two. He threw a couple punches. They say he landed in commentary, but he grazed your eye, poked you, and then the fight was stopped because you couldn't see. Now, in the replay, it didn't look like it wasn't one of those like, but that means nothing. Because a lot of times the ones where the thumb is in your eye, the guy recovers. And what exactly happened?
Yeah, it was like, I get my other hand here to illustrate. His hand went like, this would be his right hand. It went like this into my eye. And it like kind of clawed part of my eye on the way down and like picked up my eyelid at the bottom too. So it was, I don't know, people... Trust me, I heard everything in the book about how I'm a pussy and I quit and I'm this.
Isn't that crazy? Somebody poked your eye and then you're being accused of being a pussy
pussy because I got my eye poked. Isn't it? I mean, it's fucking annoying and it's embarrassing. But at the end of the day, though, what am I going to do, fight with one eye?
What did the doctor say?
Yeah, the doctor was in the cage and he was like, don't be an idiot, dude. Like, there's not a paycheck in the world worth getting cracked. Because you fought with one eye.
But what did the doctor say afterwards, though? Like,
in the hospital, yeah, the doctor told me it was a torn cornea. They were like, it's going to be a little while before everything's, 100% again. And, I mean, it ended up being pretty quick. They didn't give me, like, a real, like, prognosis, but they were like, it'll be a little while before I would start sparring again. So they gave me these drops. They gave me this, like a steroid drop thing and an antibiotic. It was, and then, it wasn't even a whole week before it was totally 100%. But
eyes actually heal quicker than I think any other part of the body. Apparently,
the eye and the tongue are the fastest healing parts of the body.
Now, did the punches hurt at all? The ones you connected?
No, I didn't. That's the thing is, somebody slid in my DMs on Twitter and said, you felt the strong Ukraine power and quit. And that's the thing. Like, I watched the fight and I could see why people thought, but like the punches that he threw mostly were like, I had my arms out. They're like bouncing off my shoulders mostly. So did they hit me in the sense that they made a connection to my head? Yeah. But did they land flush on my face? No, not really. And it's, I mean, I could feel his power. He's a strong guy, but it's not like the punch. I felt a punch and I was like, oh, fuck. It wasn't like I was hurt or I was rocked. It was just.
Yeah, it didn't look like, literally, it didn't look like they even it even landed. Like, it looked no. Like I was like, he's like, oh, already threw a hard right to John McCarthy, who's one of the best. But I'm like, yeah, but I don't think I've seen you. We've seen you rock before. You're not really good at playing poker.
Yeah, for all the people that want to come at me about how I quit and how I felt power and I quit, it was like, yeah, bro, I fought on autopilot, like, not that long ago. So, it's like, I don't remember the fight at all, and I still won. So, it's like, I don't want to hear anything about how I get cracked and quit. It was like, well, that's just what happened.
This is what concerned me, though, is that you're a sensitive, super smart, nice, brilliant dude. And I'm like, I hope he doesn't let any of these things affect him. Like,
yeah, why did you look at the comments?
I know this is a humor podcast, but like I did a little bit and it did get to me and I was like, man, like it just bummed me out that like it, mostly it bummed at myself for like letting it get to me, but also like, man, I can't believe people really have nothing better to do than to like, I had one of the biggest opportunities of my life kind of get taken away. And here's people already coming and being, yo, I know you're a pussy, you quit. And it's like, well,
why do you look at the comments though? I mean, like, I know Joe Rogan always talks to me, goes, I never look at anything anyone posts about me.
Well, I'll make, sorry about that. I'll make sure to never do that again.
I was like, I hope not, because I mean, Steve, obviously, dude, you're beyond talented. You're undefeated. A lot of people are thinking that you're going to be the champion. A lot of fighters think that. Like, a lot of fighters that train with you think that. You know, I think that. You think that. So, at the end of the day, it means nothing. I mean, this shit is like...
I know, but it's just like... I don't know. I hate to be a... I'm getting emotional. Like, I'm getting into my feelings, talking about it, thinking about it too much. But it's just one of those things. Like, we have feelings too, obviously. Like, it just sucks. But yeah, you know, fuck it. This was whatever. This is... It got to a point for me though where I was like, man, fuck, like these people who are typing this shit really don't have anything better going on with their lives.
Of course.
And they have to go out of their way to break me for some shit that really they had no hand in or part in. It was everything about it was just like, man, fuck. Like I have so much good shit going on in my life. Why am I gonna let some people who I'll probably never see or meet and ever like bring me down? It's just fucking dumb.
Even if you had nothing going on in your life, that would still
apply. Yeah.
Because I do the same thing.
Even if I had the worst life ever, I'd be like, man, fuck all you guys.
No, I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, I don't need, I'm in therapy. And yesterday I was like, you know, this is happening, but I have X and I have Y and I have Z. And she's like, the fact that you're telling yourself that is giving the first thing power. You have to not even like let it all roll off you. That's
but
my
Adam, opinion. Like me and you, like we probably get, I mean, death threats and people shitting on us constantly online. I mean, for
I honestly just block it because I'm like, I get to a point where I'm like, you don't deserve my free jokes.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm giving you a service and you've lost your privileges. That's what I do now because I'm like, you're not paying for this, so right. So why should you get it? That's my new thing. By the way, I did a show. So I did Tuesday night. I did a show, and it was one of those shows. I love Ahmed, one of my best friends, but he was not lighting people. So it's one of the, you ever do these shows where you go in and it's packed? By the time you go on, even though you're part of the headliner, there's like, there's nobody left. I mean, there's like, and you can see the whole crowd leave, right? So at every comic was doing 30, 35. And I even said it, I go, the best thing about Ahmed is that he's such a rebel. He doesn't believe in lighting people. I go, and then before he goes on, he goes, listen, guys, comics, please move to the front. The only thing worse than having nobody in the front is having comedians in the front, because now it looks like an audience, but it's not. It's like having paid extra. I don't have audience extras in comics. They don't laugh at like rape jokes or like just like the worst possible jokes, but jokes if you're bombing or anyway. Yeah. But I ended. It was actually a good set because I actually had fun with it because I called it all out. But it reminded me of the time with I met. I've ever told this. Did you ever go to Seychelles? That gig in Seychelles. So Seychelles is this like it's in Africa. It's like this island off of Africa, right? So they flew me and Ahmed, and Ahmed, they fly us there, and you know how you get on a plane and like Mike Smith, you know, and like someone dude, so they're like, I'm at a med, and like 13 people raise their hands. I'm like, I guess that's pretty bad. Yeah, this is usually the reaction I get.
Yeah, she sounds horrified by this.
So we get to the gig, right? And it's on this island, and this prince owns the island. The prince of, like, one of the princes of Saudi, some prince, right? And I'm on there with the cast of 50 Shades of Grey, the musical. I guess there's a musical. So, like,
for real? I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I swear to God. And some of them were hot. So I'm like, well, at least they wanted nothing to do with us, right? They were cool. But so then they give us flip phones. They're like, hey, the prince doesn't know if you're going to have a show tonight or tomorrow night. Whenever he wants a show, he'll call you. So keep this on at all times. So we're there for 5 days, not knowing what hour we're going to perform, if we're going to perform. They're like, don't worry, even if you don't perform, they will fly. The guy doesn't have a TV. He just flies in live entertainment every night of the week, right? So we get a call at like 2 o'clock in the morning, like, time for the show. A guy pulls up with like a golf cart, takes us to this side. Dude, there's like 200 of the hottest chicks you've ever seen wearing, I don't know what they do. I don't know if they're escorts. They're like, and then then like the prince in the background and like, this like shady thing, you can't see him, right? So Ahmed goes on, they're laughing at everything. It's like canned laughter. It's like Comics Unleashed where every joke you
do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I go on, we both get standing ovations, right? Then we go to the back, they're like, you have to go back to your side of the island. Well, there's nobody, right? So we look, I mean, what about the girls? We look on the screen, they're all dancing with the prince, 50 women. And now we're both like fuming. Like, I'm laughing at how ridiculous this is. Ahmed's like, no, we're seeing girls tonight. We're seeing girls. I'll pay for your taxi. So we take a taxi in Africa to the nearest club, which is an hour and a half away, right? We get there. These women there, like, they have like, a lot of these girls have like hairy armpits, you know, like, it's not something that I'm into, you know, but I was having a blast. I was still dancing with all of them. Ahmed is like crying in the corner. Dude, that's how bad. And then we went to Dubai, where Ahmed basically pitched a guy to open up a comedy club, even though he was banned from Dubai for some reason. And then the club opened up and closed in 2 weeks. What's up, people? Football is back, and Bet Online is your number one source for all football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football odds, news, and game matchups, including this year's opening week games. Bet Online is your continued source for all your wagering information, including live betting, free contests, and live scores. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, even golf. Head over to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. But yeah, that's what I told that story. I wanted to tell him about the podcast, but I figured you would appreciate it.
I love it.
So that was it. So Steve, what did they say to you at Bellator? Scott Coker, anybody?
I wanted to say that I heard back in the day whenever the one guy from Jersey Shore was on somebody's roast.
Yep. Yeah.
I agree. Jersey Shore sucks.
That was my feeling, literally a minute ago. Some comedian who was on the roast of whatever was on stage with the one guy from Jersey Shore, and he was like bombing. It situation. Was awful. It wasn't funny. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And she said later on that like comedians in a crowd usually will only laugh because they know that it's a joke and you'll try to be nice. Or they'll laugh whenever you're like really fucking up.
Oh, yeah.
And you start bombing.
Oh, 100%.
And it's funny.
It's a great joke. The comic will be like, for this nod, like, well played.
Yes.
I spoke to what's his name, Mike Kogan, and he told me to be ready anytime, probably anytime before the beginning of the year. So,
oh, nice. That's good.
It's good. And he told me basically, I came to him and was like, look, like, it sucks what happened, but I'll do anything if we can just run that same thing back, like, or whatever. I'll take whatever. Just you know, please don't throw me on the back burner for this. And he was like, dude, relax. Like, he'd said, it'd be one thing if you were getting fucked up for 20 minutes and like, you know, we kind of already knew how the fight was going to go, but it happened like right at the beginning. Like, what are you going to do? And it was just really nice to hear him say that. You know?
Yeah. No, yeah. It was honestly like so many people, they try to fight with one eye, they lose. And then now you have a loss. So
now you have I don't really care about the loss, but they try to fight with one eye and then something really bad happens. And it's like,
Man, right. Fuck.
Yeah. Or they fight with one eye, and then after the fight, they go, "Well, I was fighting with one eye the whole time." Yeah, and that's why that's I lost.
The dumbest. That's the worst thing is that you're up there complaining about. It was like, well, hey, look, dude, if you couldn't see, we could have figured that out, you know.
So let's talk about Bo Nickel. You watched Bo Nickel on Tuesday night?
I did, man. What a beast, dude.
So I don't know if you know this guy, Bill. There's a guy named Bo Nickel who like was like a god in wrestling. I think he was a 3-time Nash champion. I think he would have made it to the Olympics, but Dave Taylor, who's just a little bit better, is like the best right now in the world. Yeah. Like, he beat Jordan Burrow. He's just that guy. And Bo Nickel's like right under it, but still next level, right? I mean,
yeah.
So the UFC signed him. He went 1-0, and the UFC signed a guy that was 1-0, right? Because he was that good. Like he grappled against, I think it was, what was it, him versus Gordon Ryan, but it was like kind of competitive in some ways. It was this kind of wrestling match, some kind of jiu-jitsu match or whatever it was. It was like a hybrid. They did hybrid matches, and he's that he like opened up his own gym next to Penn State. He's just that good. So his first match goes in, he wins in 36, like 52 seconds. Second fight on the contender. This guy's only had two fights, which was last week. He goes for a knee tap, which I've never seen. It was a knee tap hook at the same time. Like it was beyond
his left arm was going up for like the chin and his right arm was going down for like the pick and then like
then so it was like up. It was a punch knee tap combo.
Yeah, yes. But he like that was I think if the dude hadn't really just been picked and already falling down, if that left would have hit him, bop, he probably would have gone out. It was sick. It was
so then he sort of gets swept, but not really. He gets full mount.
He put a Khabib a la Justin Gaethje where, like, he let the guy come out the back door while he already had the triangle locked up, and then whenever he was on the bottom, he'd already – remember, Khabib did the same thing to Justin Gaethje 2 years ago. He, like, he was on his back, and he was letting Justin come up, but he had his arm controlled, and as, like, the position changed from top to bottom, he just sunk in the triangle while the position changed, and then he was stuck.
So afterwards – and this dude is hilarious because, you know – I don't know. I mean, I used to always think wrestlers were kind of humble because it's a humbling sport.
Yeah.
This new breed of wrestler, which I mean, I guess it's always kind of been like that. There's been always, but he's like Brock Lesnar, like he's calling out Chimaev like right after, and then he wants to fight three guys in one night.
So the three big boys in one night.
Yeah. So
that's what makes money, man. Whether you believe it or not, that's what makes money. You know.
Well, because you can see him beating three guys in one night, too. I mean, I don't know what, but.
Conceivably, yeah. Especially after performances like those.
So he's up against, he's up against Jamie Pickett, who's on a 2-fight losing streak, but who's won fights in the UFC. It's a good fight for him because the guy's got some, we haven't seen any holes yet, but we haven't seen him get tested either. We don't even know about his chin. We don't know if he can take a punch, Bo Nickel. Everyone's assuming he can. But we'll see. What are your thoughts on him, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the fact he's coming in here and dominantly grappling these dudes. He's like, in his first fight, we saw him do like a slip and rip kind of thing with the left hand and knock the guy out. And it's like, that's some shit that there are guys who have been in the game for 10 years that can't do, you know? Do I think he's going to beat three good guys in one night? I mean, no. And then Cejudo, I don't know if you saw this, Cejudo tweeted that, like, he probably is ready for, like, Chimaev and Adesanya. And it's – okay, well, again, like, I don't know about all that. But I really think we're going to see something special out of Bo Nickel. And we probably talked about it before. The Penn State guys, the way that their mindset around competing is – I really think that's, like – you talk about, like, the new wave, and it's – I don't really think they're doing anything – technically superior to anybody else, but what they are doing is they're changing the culture around competing, and you know whatever it is that they're doing out there is fucking working. So
yeah, I mean they're also getting guys that now that like they're not getting guys straight from high school or 1 year of wrestling, like they're getting guys that like competed on such a high level, went as far as they could of wrestling, and now they're crossing over. So
but think about it, if you're a good wrestler now and you're really getting awards and accolades, you're gonna probably have MMA on your mind.
Oh yeah,
beginning you're succeeding.
100%. 100%.
Now I want to say Bo Nickel came from. I could be totally wrong here, but I want to say I heard in like some of his commentary, the wrestling commentary, that he came from a
a more traditional martial arts background. I want to say like a jiu-jitsu or something, not a Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but like a judo or a jiu-jitsu or like one of those.
I'm excited. I mean, now Chimaev has called out Colby Covington publicly.
I saw the tweet.
I mean, it might be Ali. No, actually, it's not even, Ali doesn't rep him. I think it might be Chimaev's. For some reason, I think that's a good fight for Colby. I don't know why. I just feel like Colby's pace can really like tire this dude out, and Colby can win this fight. I mean, if it was a 10-round fight, I think he would definitely win. It's whether or not he gives up the first three rounds, right? Because even if he comes back to four and five. But I think this is a good fight for Colby in some strange way, almost better than Gilbert Burns and like for Colby. So, yeah. Steven, what do you think about Colby versus Chimaev?
You said it there. I mean, what made Gilbert so interesting in the Chimaev equation was that, like, we hadn't seen anybody put him on his back foot. And, you know, Gilbert, he took a little bit of punishment to do it. But I rewatched the fight again the other day, and I already thought it was close. But it was so much closer even than I remember. And it was because Gilbert was able to put some pressure back onto him. He was able to get onto his front foot a little bit. He's able to push his cardio. And, I mean, yeah, you bring up some really good points. Colby's obviously, like, known for his pressure and his cardio. He's really good at – if your timing or your pace is just a little bit behind his, he's good at finding the hole and exposing it. And, I mean, shit, that – not in a way that Gilbert did, but he might do something that we haven't seen done to Chimaev.
Yeah. I have a question. So Chimaev being, he was like 7 or 8 pounds over. That's obviously intentional, right? Like he was trying to say something. What is the point of him doing that?
I think that he might've gotten close, like 4 or 5 and just broke and said, fuck this. And then rehydrated back up to 8. Like, I don't think he actually got down. I mean, personally, who knows, but I don't think he made it. It seems like he kind of, I don't know, Steve.
Yeah, I'm with you. If I were gonna venture to guess, it was just that he decided not to do it. And again, there's reports going around that a doctor told him to stop cutting. But like, I'd also heard that he was at a restaurant the night before till like 11 o'clock at night eating, and it's like, I don't know.
Every single doctor will tell you to stop cutting.
Yeah,
any doctor. Yes. There's not a doctor on the planet that will say, "Oh no, I think you should lose 8 pounds by Friday." Like,
there's not a doctor that thinks the correct course of action is to get into a cage and fight somebody. So it's like, well, hey, look, like, but and also it's like I really don't know the nuts and the bolts of it. But like, people are bitching and moaning about how he didn't make the weight or whatever. But it's like, okay, look, he's done it several times before. I wonder what it was about this one time that it's if anything, it's this one time that he didn't do it that should be concerning, because it's like, okay, well, what was it about this that made him think he could just say fuck it, you know?
I also think that he's just from a different place, man. I mean, when you have the prime minister or the dictator, whatever, of Chechnya,
yeah,
saying
something rhymes on Ahmad or whatever.
Yeah, a guy who, like, basically they like throw gay people off buildings. I mean, there's all kinds of, they did a whole thing on Real Sports about this guy who's psycho.
Horrible human being. Yeah.
So when you quit fighting and that guy says, no, you have to fight. I don't think you're really scared about USADA or UFC officials. Like, yeah. I mean, he's answering a different people, this guy.
Yeah. It's hard to tell really what's going on. I wanted to, I guess Bill left, but yeah. The fact that too, I think the most interesting thing for me about the whole thing was that right after he missed weight, he like tweeted this picture of him and Darren Till, but like he used some app to make them look like really fat. And he was like, it's because I hang out with him. That's why. And I thought it was hilarious.
No, the but guy it wasn't funny.
It wasn't, it was in poor taste though. And it did make me think, okay, like, if he's not going to take something like this seriously, makes me wonder how seriously he took actually making it.
I'll tell you what, though, man, is that because I posted a picture of like one, you know, he had like one, and I put like the amount of fans Chimaev has left.
Yeah.
And I got more hate from people from Chechnya and Russian comments, like, or people, you know, in that area, threatening me, making fun of my family, I'm just like, they came at me, you know. Yeah. And that's probably what you were dealing with a little bit when you fought the Ukrainian guy. It's a different type of fan. These people are like,
oh, it's something just like that.
that block of people, it's like competing, especially in combat sports, is so much more like, it's so much more integral to like the culture there, you know. And it's they really equate like your worth is to who you are as a competitor. I know a guy, a Kazakhstani guy, and they were saying that one of his coaches was telling me that like he feels a lot of pressure when he fights, because he says if you lose, you know what I mean, like the one thing about competing is that, you know, like there is the comfort of knowing that like, okay, yeah, losing sucks and it's embarrassing, it's humiliating, but like before the week is out, usually people are talking about other shit, you know, people don't stick to you about what, you know, whatever it was that happened. But he was saying that in Kazakhstan that like you could lose one fight and then you could lose or win every fight after that emphatically by knockout, and people are still, the Kazakhstani people are still going to be like, yeah, but remember that one time you fucking lost to blah blah blah. And like,
but it's different. This is not like barbershop talking shit. I mean,
this is people like, making threats on your family. Yeah,
yeah, this is literally like, I'm like, this guy is like, holy shit. And I never saw so many people excuse someone missing weight by 8 pounds. Like they just think shit. The bottom line was the guy won, and that's all that matters.
Right.
But yeah. But you know who else is like that? I hate to say it, is Colby. Colby, like, I remember he was the champion, and I'm sure he probably doesn't want me even saying this, but like he was a champion. We were hanging out, he was beyond nice. And he still had that Warley Alves loss on his fucking mind. That was like 9 fights ago. And
yeah.
I would just want to fucking win that fight. I go, dude, you have the belt. That was 9 fights ago. He's like, yeah, I'd be undefeated right now. And I'm like, maybe there's something to that, because it's maybe that's the champion mindset people need. But
yeah, part of being a competitor, you're always going to look back. I watched one of my boxing fights when I was an amateur. So like more than 10 years ago. And I'd still kick myself in the ass about how, man, I really thought I won that. And how, and it's totally irrelevant to like my life now.
Kayla Harrison is like, you know, anytime she wins by decision, it's as if she lost. Yeah. It's as if she didn't win. It's different.
That applies to not just fighting, but like a lot of people like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Jeremy Piven, he's such a good actor, right? Me and I'm friends, right? He would tell, like, his dad would be like, his dad was his coach. His dad would be like, hey, Jeremy, next time we do it, you got to make sure that you throw away the line. It's like, he would say at the rap party. So the play's over, and his dad's giving him notes about how to do the part. And that's like,
dude, that could also, and that's why he's a big dad. Dude, in high school, I was, you know, New England champion, Class A champion. My coach was like, I was 23-0 my senior year. And he's like, if you don't win nationals, everything you did is fucking worthless. And then I didn't win nationals. I got impetigo, but whatever, blah, yada, yada, yada. And it was like that messed me up for years, you know, because especially when you have a coach like that, but it is what it is. Did you watch the Invicta weigh-ins, Bill?
No.
So one of the girls weighed in topless.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. I did see that though. Yeah.
She ended up losing her fight, but she had Band-Aids or tape above her nipples that said F Disney. I'm not really sure that was the best way, because no one could even read the F Disney. Everyone. And then I posted it. I'm like, well, they're putting, you know, topless Tuesdays, everything. Some of the comments were funny. Like, when's Misha going to weigh in, or Paige VanZant, like, you know, you have 24 hours to respond. And then there were people that were just like vomit emojis, or just like, this is a man. And I'm like, what's the point of that? Like, that's not even funny. You're just being a dick, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I'm all for this. If girls want to have the taping.
Yeah. Know, why not?
Yeah. But then someone's like, well, what if a guy had his nuts hanging out with tape on them?
Well, guys kind of do that. They get naked. They have a towel draped in front of them. You know?
Yeah. What did you think of the topless girl, Tall Steve?
I mean, I really, really wish she would elaborate on the fuck Disney. Not that I'm a fan of Disney in any particular way. But, like, it's like, okay, are we back on the Illuminati shit? I mean, that's fine. But, like, can we hear something new now is all I'm trying to say.
Wait, is she gay? Is she a lesbian?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Oh, yeah, maybe that was that. It was the gay. Well, yeah, was it? Who knows?
Yeah, but Disney's super inclusive now. I thought that was
that's true.
That was their new move. I thought.
Right.
Maybe she was mad about a black Little Mermaid.
Maybe. We finally found the first person who's actually mad about the black
Little Mermaid. Yeah, no one's mad. I haven't met one person mad about the black mermaid.
But that's part of the marketing, though, is that they're like, we're doing this despite all the racists. It's like, I promise you, nobody gives a fuck about the black
mermaid. I know. I mean, I don't think at like Klan rallies they're like holding up mermaid, Little Mermaid signs.
Yeah,
All
I'm thinking is I can jerk off to a black mermaid now too.
I think she's a kid, but okay. Thank you. Now, all right. So
she's canonically 14, Bill. But we're gonna toss this podcast right now.
So yesterday. So basically, UFC this week, they said no, they're not doing any kind of press, and they're not selling tickets to their fight, right? So then yesterday, what's her name? The girl, Mackenzie Dern, who's the headliner of the fight this week, said, I heard Mark Zuckerberg bought all the tickets, right? Or Mark Zuckerberg has the thing. So I tweeted out, like, Mark Zuckerberg has whatever, not to be outdone, Bellator, Tom from MySpace, bought all the Bellator tickets, right? So I thought that was kind of funny, because they're, normally, except for Tall Steve, a lot of these guys, you get the Yoel Romero fights, Yeah. So then Dana White, who never posts, on my Twitter, this is complete bullshit. Mark Zuckerberg did not do that, right? So he posted. So now my Twitter is on fire, literally.
Awesome.
Yeah, but now I'm like, shit, Dana's like, produced my last three comedy specials. Like this was a joke. So I call Dana and he's like, yo, man, sorry to throw you. He goes, that's not true about what happened with Dern or all kinds of shit. He goes, but I like the fact you tweeted that because it made me kibosh it. I go, but I deleted it because I thought you were mad. He's like, no, I'm not mad about that. So then we're talking about him on Tucker Carlson and I'm trying to get another special. But it was just like this whole thing of but then of course every comment was like, this means that Mark Zuckerberg did in fact buy all the tickets. And then
of course,
or they were like, well, what about Tom from MySpace? Can you confirm that? It was like, fucking clowns. I mean, the whole thing is just,
I'm so bummed you deleted it, man. You should have done that. Come on. No such thing as bad press. What are you, crazy?
I mean, this guy funded my last three comedy specials. I didn't want to fucking create. I thought he was mad. I thought he was fucking mad, but, so
hindsight, right? Well, now that he's game for, he's par for the course with that,
Oh, he said I was doing him a favor because he basically wanted to put out all the fires and he just used my tweet as it. But people were like, you, out of all the people that you respond to, it's a fake parody account.
Right.
like the whole thing is just,
or it'd be like some kid that has like a 4-to-1 following to follower ratio, and he'll be like, shut up, numbnuts. And it's like,
those were the best. Those were the best Dana White days.
Absolutely.
When he was calling people clown shoes and numbnuts, or he was like, someone's like, I'm not buying it. No one asked you to, dork. I mean, it was literally fucking like high school bully 101. It was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my, he literally called people clown shoes. Or on Twitter, he'd be like, you're an egg. If you had an egg in your avatar pic, he'd say, you're an egg.
Yeah.
Well, if you know, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of the hate that you get on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, comes from the accounts that are like an anime profile picture or a picture of a fighter getting their hand raised. And it's like, it's hard to take people. It's already hard to take you seriously if you're talking shit on the internet, but it's even harder to take
douchebags.
It's even harder to take you seriously if you don't even have your own name and picture on a website.
No, somebody has, I was, on TikTok, I'm on this positive, my TikTok is either 80s wrestling videos or it's people making, these what are they called? Positive speaking. And they're like, nobody better than you is talking shit about you. They're like, no one that's doing better than you has the time
to talk shit about you.
So I have to remember that. So anyone who, but meanwhile, so I need your advice, by the way, Bill and Steve. So, I coach wrestling and we got five girls on the team. Actually, one of the girls who's the best girl was my kid's babysitter. Cause I'm like, I can't coach this year. And they're like, well, what if we have middle school kids watch your kid and they'll get credit. I was like, fine. So this one girl, this little black girl, she's amazing. She's the best with my kid. My kid loves her. but she's like doing gymnastics with my daughter. And I'm like, dude, you're pretty strong. Her arms are, she's like, yeah, I used to box. And I'm like, dude, you need to join the wrestling team. So now she's like the best kid in our team, right? She's like, yeah, like day one, she's throwing everyone around. So anyway, yeah, we have like five girls. And there's this one kid on the team who has done jiu-jitsu, right? Or some kind of mixed martial arts, because he always pulls guard. Or if he gets a takedown, he puts his fist up like he's ready to punch. And I'm like, hey, we can't. This is not the sport.
It's not our thing.
He's always going for bad, stupid trips to get him. But anyway, the other day he like choked some kid. The kid had him in a double leg. He guillotined the kid. The kid, like, I didn't see what happened because I was looking the other way. But I'm like, what happened? He choked me. And I told him, like, hey, man, this is not the sport. If you choke someone again, you're off the team. And he smiled. He gave me that little smirk where he like felt good about it. And I'm like, So then I wasn't there yesterday, but the four girls, my other coach, hey, this guy's creeping us out. He keeps winking at the girls, smiling at the girls, making gestures. What do you suggest I do as far as this kid? Steve?
I mean, winking and smiling, kind of hard to do, but it, you know, kind of hard to get upset about that. I'm watching my daughter play with her fucking nanny cam and as I'm answering this. But, you know, making gestures, especially inappropriate ones, yeah, I'd probably, especially after everything you said, I'd probably be like, all right, dude, maybe we can try again next year if you want to act like an adult. But
Bill?
Well, I mean, you already told him, right?
I told him no choking. So I already went to the guy in charge of the athletic program. Yeah, and told him what happened, and he said he's gonna deal with it. I have a problem like that. I always go to the person, you know. But I'm gonna tell, hey, listen, man, we're all wrestlers here. No more winking. No more this. And he's getting his ass kicked. But like on top of that, he's getting the crap. Every girl's throwing him out of the fucking out the window, you know. So. So maybe it's more like he's embarrassed about it, you know, that he's actually trying to.
Sure.
You know.
I mean, have you talked? Do you know his parents at all?
No.
Yeah. You gotta tell him not to do that. Just say like, hey, man, that makes people uncomfortable, and just focus on the work, and you know.
I had to ban parents from coming because we had one dad that was coming that was screaming at his kid, and the kid was crying every day. So I had to like. I had to close the door, which sucks because half the time when you get kids, it's kids walking by the wrestling room going, oh, what's going on in here? And then I like fish him in, you know? So it's just middle school wrestling problems. What are you going to do? So the fights this week, we got some Bellator fights. We got some UFC fights. Tall Steve, who do we like in Bellator this week? AJ McKee or Spike Carlisle?
I like Adam Borix is gonna fucking kill the game this weekend. I mean, sorry to jump over you there, but Adam Borix is gonna do sensational. He's gonna look sensational doing it. You're gonna just love Adam Borix. No, I got AJ McKee there. All respect to Spike Carlisle, but AJ McKee's just got it in him. You know, he's got that little pizzazz.
Now, does Borix train with you?
Yeah.
I knew it. He's fighting.
What gave me away?
yeah, he's fighting Pitbull. Borix is 18-1. He is a monster. Underrated kid. No one ever talks about him. I don't. Maybe he's quiet. Maybe he's not on Twitter, Instagram. But yeah, 18. It's a very quiet 18-1. But the guys he beat. He beat Maz Burdell. He beat Jeremy Kennedy. He beat Eric Sanchez. Beat Matt.
Aaron Pico.
He lost to Darian Caldwell. Who also a monster. Is Caldwell training with you, you now or no?
She unplugged the nanny cam, guys. in today's episode of What is the Worst Thing That Ever Happened? Sophia,
no, it's all good. One of the funniest nanny cam stories. One time during the podcast, I was talking to Ponzinibbio, right? After a huge win. And I could barely understand him. And I'm sitting, and then Eve Edwards and somebody else, and my kid was crying, and I'm like, hey, Eve, can you go change the diaper, my kid? So Eve goes, because I know he's a grandfather and an uncle and a dad, so Eve goes into the room and starts changing a diaper, and then my wife texts me, who has our kid right now? Because she doesn't even know that Eve's is there. So I find the picture of Eve all bloody and I go, this guy.
That's great.
So yeah. So yeah, AJ McKee, I agree. He's I don't think he even lost his last fight. I think the judges got mad at him because he was talking all kinds of smack and showboating and this and that. And I think they were all conservative. I thought he beat Pitbull his last fight. Borik's won. Yeah. I hope Jeremy Kennedy beats Aaron Pico. But man, Pico has seen. So he's a guy, Bill Dawes. This guy was the best wrestler in high school. He came out. He was like, they were calling him the next big thing. He felt like a complete moron his first couple fights. Hands down, punch for punch. Got knocked out. First fight ever was at Madison Square Garden. Gets knocked out. Then goes like 3-3. Finds the right team at Greg Jackson. Is now 10-3. And is just murdering everybody. Using a combination of wrestling and striking. Basically just says you have to have an amateur career basically or you know, fight smart. So you like Pico or Jeremy Kennedy?
You asking Bill?
You, Steve.
I got Pico there. I mean, I'm with you. He had a, that's the thing we say. I want to say he had a touch and go start, but he really didn't. He had a good start. It's just that he fought really good guys really early. But I like, you know, I think he's got the right people around him now, and they're pushing him in the right direction. So I don't know how much of a shot I give this other guy, except for, you know, the obvious.
Right. UFC big fights. Randy Brown, Trinaldo. Who wins?
Trinaldo.
Why?
Randy Brown's good, but Trinaldo's just Trinaldo, that old guy that's just a bad motherfucker.
Jan Jonin versus Mackenzie Dern. Who wins this one?
Mackenzie Dern.
All right. Another one. We got Jocko versus Brendan Allen.
Brendan Allen. Why? He's another teammate of mine.
Okay. How does he win?
Well, he's going to channel the energy of Tall Steve. anyway, the next fight.
Alir Latifi. I think you have to make this like – I think, Adam, you have to have like people – if they could call the fight and how they win, you got to give them like a cash bonus. You got to bet them like $100.
Yeah, 100%. That's
what I know. I have friends that do – there's like a running gym thing of guys who like – they make bets with each other, and then they watch fights, and while they're watching fights, they play poker. So it's just gambling on gambling on gambling.
Oh my god!
I love it. I mean, it's not for me, but I love it.
Alir Latifi versus Olnik.
Fuck! I forgot about that. Olnik.
He's like 80 years old.
Yeah, but I mean, that you look at him being 80 and like what he's able to do in these fights, and it's like he just grabs on to dudes and chokes them to death.
UFC 280, Oliveira versus Islam.
I love Oliveira, but Islam.
Wow, Bill.
I don't know. I said this last time. I predicted last time. I said if he gets someone's back, it's over, and it's really hard to prevent someone for an entire fight not to get your back. And he's so good at it now; it's like unstoppable.
Yeah, but he's like Khabib, you know, adjacent.
I get it.
Aljamain Sterling, TJ Dillashaw.
I like how you said Khabib adjacent. It's not quite – I don't know if I'd call him Khabib 2.0, but I'd definitely say he's Khabib-esque.
Yes. Aljamain versus TJ Dillashaw.
You have to go with Sterling there.
Okay. And you, Bill?
Yeah, same.
All right. I think you're right. I think TJ is a head case. And I think that Aljamain is finally hitting his groove and having fun and showed a lot of character coming back the Peter Yan fight, because I thought he got murked the first fight and came back and won.
How I'm making my call there too, is like, okay, well, if you can get over Peter Yan, I don't know how much I believe in TJ Dillashaw after that.
Peter Yan versus Sean O'Malley.
Peter Yan.
You don't think O'Malley's just gonna like land some crazy kick? And I mean, what if he knocks out Peter Yan? He's the biggest star in MMA.
He's got to be. And it's not that – that's the thing is, like, I'm making these calls, you know, as if I'm totally sold on the fact that Peter Yan, Sean Matt is one of the ones. Don't get me wrong. I really think Peter Yan's one of the better middle
– I think we're losing a lot. Bill, can you hear him?
He faded out for a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So what can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the better middleweights, Peter Yan.
One of the better bantamweights that ever did it.
Yeah, yeah,
But I think that Sugar Sean's coming into his own, and I think Peter Yan might have lost some steam a little bit.
And then finally, Sean Brady, who this dude is a monster, and he actually entered a jiu-jitsu tournament and beat that guy from Australia that was killing everybody. Who's that guy that
was on? I was on that event, Craig Jones. I fought Nicky Rod there.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. What did you think of your match against Mickey Rod?
I thought I was doing really good until I wasn't. you saw the ADCC over the weekend. Mickey Rod's the second best guy at that weight. And I mean, second best to Gordon Ryan is still probably pretty fucking good, you know.
Did you leave your kid in the house?
I'm married, I'm just gonna drive away.
Sean,
I feel like the urge that we all face. I feel like I'm gonna give into it.
Now, don't drive off a cliff right now. By the way, how far are you from the hurricane?
No. Oh, way far. I'm like 3 hours away. And the absolute worst part of it was like way, way up. We had, we got some rain and some wind. But, I mean, we didn't really get much of the carnage.
So finally, Sean Brady, Bilal Muhammad.
That's a great fight. I don't know. I mean, Bilal Muhammad's kind of like coming into his own as a grappler kind of thing, but I don't know how much I trust Bilal Muhammad as a grappler over Sean Brady.
I mean, Brady so far is looking unbeatable.
Yeah, Brady's a fucking animal. I'd really like to see Sean Brady Bilal Muhammad, you can't get much higher of a step than that right now. But I can't believe we haven't seen, I can't believe they haven't pushed Brady like they pushed other guys who are, you know, comparable, like that level of like prospects.
Bill? All right, you're muted. Great. Okay, so.
Sean Brady.
Why is that?
I just like the strength.
Yeah, he is beyond strong. All right. Well, what do you have coming up, Bill Dawes?
Boy, what do I have coming up? Laugh Factory Friday. Trying to think if I have any headline gigs coming up. No, that's it, man. Although, if you I got some TV shows coming up. Alaska Daily coming up with Hillary Swank. Got some shows of that. But comedy, I'm just at the Laugh Factory, some other clubs around town. That's it.
Nice. What are you doing with Hillary Swank?
Well, of course, because of – you know, the world today, I play white nationalists. That's my wheelhouse. So I kidnap her because she's a New York liberal. Well, I shouldn't say that. Whatever, gives a shit.
Got it. No, that's a big show, Alaska. It's huge. It's a huge show.
We'll see. It's not out yet, but we'll see.
I see billboards for it everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I saw you in on that Showtime show.
What show? City on a Hill?
Yeah. The one, City on a Hill.
Oh, well, the only thing I would say is if, whatever that show, but like if you want to see Mo on Netflix, you know, then that's a good show.
Yeah.
It's a fellow comic, so.
Yeah, you're killing it, bro. You're the most guy.
Not like you, bro.
You work more than everybody, and you're beyond humble. I love it. And Tall Steve, where can people follow you? All right. Well, Tall
Steve. On Instagram.
Follow on Instagram.
People can follow me. Can you hear me?
Barely.
Barely.
But okay. I will tell everyone because I love you, Steve. You're one of my favorite people in the whole world, man. Fighter.
Yeah, you're a good guy, Steve.
Dude, he's the best. Tall Steve Fights People on Instagram.
Hear me now?
Yes.
Tall Steve Fights People on Instagram. Tall Steve MMA on Twitter. Give me on MySpace. I'm probably on there somewhere. Bill Dawes, I wanted to say you told this fucking – there's this joke of yours on Instagram the other day. It was like, don't you hate when you're talking to a girl and she's being a real cunt? I'm just kidding. And then you like – I can't remember everything you said word for word, But it was fucking hilarious. He just kept going and going and going. I said it to, like, everybody I knew.
Ha!
I don't remember the joke. But I will tell you this. None of my reels are monetized on Instagram now because I violated their policy.
Me too. Me too. 100%. And then, of course, I got to, like, 9 billion. As soon as they unmonetized me, I'm at 9 billion. Like, literally, like, the thing can't even go up. Okay, so I will be at the Skank Fest in Los Angeles, in Las Vegas, October 14th to the 16th. The Reno Laugh Factory, October 20th to the 23rd. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Tall Steve, you're the best. Thank you, Grant Neal. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you.